money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Hey, you're listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. What's going on, everybody? It is Thursday night, and the Wizards are about to take on the leaders of the Eastern Conference, Toronto Raptors, here Friday night at Capital One Arena. The Locked On Wizards podcast comes to you. Our host is Noah Getzel, and that's me, the guy speaking right now. Sorry, I'm talking in third person. And we've got an awesome guest tonight, Brandon Nguyen, who is from Wizards Extra. I'm also a Wizards Extra reporter. We've been there for about the same amount of time. This is our fourth season. And you should listen to Locked On Wizards podcast because we come at you 5 days a week. So nonstop news and analysis and player interviews, coach interviews. And today's show, we'll be talking about we'll be previewing the matchup between the Wizards and Raptors. We'll also be talking about the history of this and how basically since the Wizards swept the Raptors in the 2014-15 playoffs, there kind of hasn't really been too much of a rivalry because it's like the Wizards just seem like the more confident team. And finally, we're going to do a throwback Thursday to recap that series and talk about how Wizards were able to come out of there and win 4-0 with some old folks like Paul Pierce, of course, the truth, hitting huge shots. He upped his performance, and Nene was back on the team. Some other guys, Ramon Sessions, who's back there with a 10-day contract now, he was contributing a little bit, and Chris Humphries and different guys who you probably haven't heard about in a couple of years. So we're going to jump right into it with the Wizards-Raptors preview on Friday. And so the Wizards are 2-1 this season against the Raptors. Last year, they're just 1-2 against them. One of those wins was without John Wall. Of course, the Wizards will be also without Wall. Tomorrow, he's going to be out at least 2 more weeks. He hasn't started any basketball-related activities after his minor knee surgery. When was that? Like January 30th, something about that. And then the Wizards, so yeah, they won one game and lost one game without John Wall against the Raptors this year. How do you like the Wizards' odds after a really tough matchup on Wednesday against the Warriors where the Wizards lost? They've got to go right back into it just one day off before they face the best team in the Eastern Conference, Brandon.
I like their odds because the last time the Wizards played the Raptors shot very, very well from the three-point line. The Wizards kind of struggled, but they only lost by 3 points. They only lost by 3 points in their last matchup, so I like their chances against the Raptors tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, the Wizards have been playing really well, really unselfishly, since John Wall went out. They're 10-4 in those 14 games. And I don't know, it just seems like the Raptors aren't really a team that strikes fear in my mind anymore. And I know the both teams are incredibly different. The Raptors are, you know, above everyone in the East, including 8 games above the Wizards in the standings. Wizards are in fourth place, Raptors are in first in the East, but To you, do you think the Raptors are still a scary team in the Eastern Conference, or is this year any different?
Honestly, until they can prove that they can handle the playoffs, they don't scare me at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lowry hasn't proven what he can do in the playoffs, and neither has DeRozan. So,
and after, do you think Beal's about to bounce back after he shot, I think it was like 3 of 15 in the game against the Warriors, or do you think our team's kind of starting to figure out how to, you know, double team him and turn him to a playmaker and kind of just lock him up and keep him from touching the ball and being that playmaker for the Wizards? Do you think it was kind of just like, all right, the Warriors are an incredible defensive team, like it makes sense that they're going to shut down the Wizards superstar? Or is it something where, you know, teams are getting more and more film of Beal being the head of the wizard snake? And do you think it's going to be a trend that he's going to keep shooting poorly?
I mean, he won't be as efficient as he was at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, because as you said, the teams are just that much more focused on him because he is the main go-to option on the team. But I think against the Raptors on Friday night, I think he'll have a decent bounce back game, but since the Raptors are one of the best defensive teams in basketball, they're going to have the personnel to really lock in on him and limit his opportunities. So he's really going to need other guys to step up in his shots for the Wizards to win on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the discussion is just about terminated versus, like, who's the better backcourt, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan versus Wall and Beal. Of course, we're not going to see Wall playing tomorrow, but Lowry has just been a little bit quieter as he's starting to age. He's 31 now. He averages 16.5 points a game. He's still kind of close to a triple-double, you know, 6.5 assists. Not really that close, but he's averaging good rebounding and assist numbers, 6.5 assists, 5.7 rebounds. But, I mean, like, his shooting percentage has never been great, and this year it's, you know, it's just 42%, 39.5% from downtown. Is it, like, a little bit more clear-cut these days that the Wizards have a better backcourt?
I think so. I mean, the Raptors have the more accomplished backcourt because they've gone to the Eastern Conference Finals, whereas mm-hmm. the Wizards' backcourt, they haven't been there yet. But in terms of talent, I don't think there's really a debate at this point. I mean, Lowry at his best isn't as good as what Wall was last season, when Wall was averaging 23 and 10. I don't think Lowry ever came close to putting up those numbers in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the depth is really where the Raptors hurt teams. You know, like, their second unit. There's one guy who's going to be injured most likely tomorrow, OG Anunoby. I don't know if I'm totally butchering his name. But, I mean, he's a nice young prospect, and he only averages 6 points and 2.5 rebounds a game. But it's his athleticism is off the charts. And they, like, I think I mentioned this on an earlier podcast with Bryna Kramer after the Wizards went up against the Raptors. And the Raptors just have, like, so many young prospects who aren't doing anything crazy. They're averaging, like, 7 points a game, but it's just, like, the Wizards have very few young players. They have Satoransky, who only played a couple years in the league, but he's actually a little bit older. I think he's, like, 27 now. And then Kelly Oubre, below 25 as well. So I think the key to their, you know, like, last game, it was a good performance from guys like Meeks and Tim Frazier and Mike Scott, but we'll see what the bench can bring here on Friday night. What do you think will be the determining factor for this one against the Raptors?
Yeah, I'm with you about the bench production. The last time the Wizards beat the Raptors, the Wizards bench outscored the Raptors bench 44-23. And another key to Wizards victory tomorrow is rebounding, because in their last matchup, the Wizards out-rebounded the Raptors 44-32. So bench production and rebounding are keys to victory tomorrow.
No doubt. Some quick stats about where these two teams rank. So in terms of scoring, both teams are great. Like, in the Eastern Conference, the Raptors are number one. The Wizards are third. And then points allowed, the Wizards are, like, middle of the pack defensively. They're seventh out of 15 teams. And then the Raptors are third. But field goal percentage, they're just about the same spot, you know, offensively potent teams. When it comes to three-pointers made, though, there's a huge difference, because the Wizards only hit 9.8 a year, whereas when you look at the Raptors, I just had it up, and now it disappeared, of course. I think they're closer to, like, 11 or 12. Let me double-check this. Three-pointers made per game. Yeah. So the Raptors hit 11.6, and then the Wizards rank 21st, 9.8. They just don't shoot them that much. It's, you know, their percentage is fine. It's 37%, which is good for seventh place. But yeah, the Wizards don't take enough three-pointers. And I think that's a big factor. And then turnovers, especially in the recent weeks, the Wizards have been a little bit sloppier with the ball. So when you look at the turnover numbers, The Raptors take great care of it, just 13.3 a game, which is fourth place in the NBA. Wizards aren't awful. It's 14.4, so, you know, that's just one more turnover a game, but that's 16th. What do you think has been the reason for the Wizards' recent string of more turnovers than usual? Is it just not always having a legitimate point guard in the game when they'd go with lineups of Beal and Meeks and trying to, you know, stretch that out to kind of give Satoransky some more time for rest?
I think it's that, and another reason why is because the Wizards have a lot of players who, when they get the ball, they kind of hold on to and they don't make very quick decisions.
Oh, yeah, like who?
Like Bradley Beal and Otto Porter, when they catch the ball, oftentimes it takes them about 2 to 3 seconds to really make a decision. And the same thing with Kelly Oubre, too. So they really got to, once they get the ball, they got to make quicker decisions. Otherwise, they're just going to be kind of telegraphing their passes and what they're trying to do on offense.
Does it surprise you that the Raptors are in first place in the Eastern Conference? They're always like a team that's kind of jostling for that. They usually get, you know, the home court advantage. But do you think the regular season means anything? Like, of course, Cleveland is like the only team you really have to watch out for, because they've been to the past three finals and won one of those. But does, like, we're going to get into this in a second or next segment, but like, are you surprised that the Raptors are tied with Boston, just a half game ahead with 43 wins and, you know, how many games are left? 22 games remaining?
I'm not surprised at all, because these guys have been, especially Lowry and DeRozan, they've been together for a while and they've proven that they can thrive and be successful in the regular season. Just like other teams in the past, like the Hawks, like the Atlanta Hawks from a couple years ago, they won 65 games or 62 games, I think, during the 14-15 season. But it teams, I don't know, for some reason, teams that get the number one seed in the East, they don't do well in the playoffs. I don't know why. Like last year, the Celtics, they didn't do all that well in the playoffs when they were a matchup against the Cavs.
Well, same thing with the Hawks Conference from a couple years ago. Yeah.
I know, but didn't they get swept?
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas only played, what, one of those games, though? I don't know. He had that hip injury.
Even in the Eastern Conference, you should get at least 1 to 2 wins.
Yeah, and they only won one. In terms of why the Raptors don't really scare people, especially the Wizards in the Eastern Conference Final, with all that trash talking back in 2015. So stay tuned for the Locked On Wizards podcast. We're coming and are here to analyze the matchup. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. The Wizards are facing the Toronto Raptors, a tough matchup, but they've won 2 out of 3 games against Toronto this year, and one of those was without John Wall, one of the losses, the only loss also without John Wall. So that's coming Friday night at Capital One Arena, and I'm not sure if I said this already, but you're listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast, and you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. You can check us out on SoundCloud or our website, lockedonwizards.com, for exclusive content 5 days a week on the Washington Wizards. So the Wizards and Raptors don't really have a rivalry, but it seems like the Wizards, when it comes to big games, they sort of have the Raptors' number. And, of course, like, the regular season is what it is, like, you know, the Raptors can win as many games as they want, but, like, LeBron still is going to dominate them in the playoffs most likely, just because that's the type of player LeBron is. But do you think that the series, which we're going to talk about in the next section for our Throwback Thursday, do you think that that series in 2015 kind of, like, permanently set a dent in the Raptors and their star players, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, that said, like, okay, you can't beat the Wizards, they're the young team on the rise, and basically, like, we've got your number when it really counts?
Oh, yeah, for sure, because remember, in that 2015 series against the Wizards, Kyle Lowry got shut down by John Wall. I mean, John Wall completely took him out of that series. And I think whenever Lowry goes up against the Wizards, I think it's possible that that series and the memories from that series are still in the back of his mind. So that probably affects his confidence going into every game against the Wizards.
Yeah, that's a good point. But there was a game that the Wizards lost to the Raptors this year, and DeRozan was just looked pretty much unstoppable. He had 33 points, hit 57% of his shot attempts, even 2 3-pointers. He's really improved his threes. And surprisingly enough, like, DeRozan's guy who's so athletic, he can just get to the line any time of the game. He had just 1 free throw in that game and still got 33 points. Like, that's saying something when you hit 15 field goals. So that was I believe that was the first matchup between those two teams this year. John Wall was injured, and this was back November 19th. Beal had 27. Frazier, for some reason, was starting the game. He had 6 points and also 8 rebounds and 8 assists. So, like, you can't really take away from anything in that game. But it was just a slow night for the Wizards. Porter had 15, Gortat had 12, Oubre 10, and Mike Scott had 9. And then the Wizards came back and beat the Raptors November 5th. Oh, so that game was actually before the one we just mentioned. My bad. And then that one was 107-96. Once again, John Wall wasn't playing. That game, Beal totally exploded. 38 points, 16 of 26, so he shot over 60%. 4 of 6 from downtown. And yeah, nobody else really needed to do much, but you also had Otto Porter chipping in 19. 5 guys in double figures. And they held... I guess the Raptors shot okay. They shot 46%, but that was, I mean, if Beal can, he's going to be looking to bounce back on Friday after he shot so poorly against the Warriors. So I think this, do you think he's going to get up to 30 points again?
Probably not. He's going to beat the Mesa. Not this time. He'll probably get around 20, 22 to 25 points. Mm-hmm. Just because he's gonna be the focus of the Raptors' game plan on the defensive end. So I don't see him getting too many easy looks against the Raptors.
Right, and if DeRozan's guarding him, like, that's a very tough matchup too. You know, because how tall his wingspan just goes on and on.
Yeah, if DeRozan is
6'8".
He's 6'7".
Oh,
6'7". 221.
Yeah. And we were just talking about it before this podcast started, like, DeMar DeRozan and Bradley Beal have essentially, like, all the same numbers this year. The only advantage that DeRozan has, well, his disadvantage is three-point shooting. He's just 32% for the year. But then, on the other hand, he's getting 5.2 assists. And then Beal has really stepped up his assists. He's gotten, I think, around 6.8 in the past 14 games that Wall's been out. But, like, overall, he's, you know, low fours. So it's not a big difference. It's like... one assist more, but is there a player, maybe you're a homer, just a Wizards fan, would you rather DeRozan or Beal on your team?
I'd rather have Bradley Beal on my team because, one, their stats right now, Beal has a higher effective field goal percentage and a higher take. Let me see. He doesn't take as many shots as DeRozan either. Yeah. Actually, no, he takes about the same.
Between these two guys, you can't really make a wrong pick. And then...
Beal's at 23.4.
Oh, okay. He was at...
No doubt. So that means his effective field goal percentage should be even higher.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough call, like, because, you know, like, Beal can be a star and he's proven in the past few games that he can, you know, lead a franchise and do everything it takes when he's the lone all-star on the team. But I think DeMar DeRozan, like, has kind of acknowledge that role for a bit longer than Beal, so he is more used to scoring in the clutch and, you know, being able to get those ISOs, and he's great in mid-range, especially on fadeaways. He gets to the rim with ease. I think it's a very tough call, but when you look long-term, the age difference, 24 versus 48, yeah. Beal, this season, you know, DeRozan was the starter in an All-Star game, but I think Beal ultimately is better. It's like, they're always having off games when it's an important game and stepped into bigger, you know, it's not just a two-person team, and they have DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry just never really put the pieces together, spotlights on them.
I think so. I mean, they have plenty of time to figure it out at this point.
Yeah.
And they've been together for, what, 4 to 5 years now. I mean, that's more than enough time to figure it out. I mean, if they're not going to figure it out now, they might never figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, to be fair, like, you, as you mentioned, they've made the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to the Cavs. I think that was, like, a six-game series, too. And the Wizards have never gone that far. The Wizards talk way too much, and the fact that they said last year, oh, the Celtics, or what was it, Beal and Wall agreed, like, oh, the Cavaliers didn't even want to face us, they were scared, they chose to get the 3 seed or whatever it was, just because they wanted to avoid the Wizards, like, so no doubt about that. I think, I'm confident, you know, I'm really confident in the Wizards, defending champions who have won 2 out of the last 3 championships, like, it means something, especially because that was the second game of back-to-back. The Wizards are playing, they're playing really solid right now, and, you know, they've beaten the Raptors twice this year, so I think this will be not an essential game, but, like, a good litmus test of where the Wizards are with, now there's 20 games left in the season, so it's kind of getting down into you know, the final playoff stretch, and you still got some time before Wall's going to come back, so it's an important game. It seems like all of these games in February have been tough. Well, I'm saying, like, after the All-Star break, like, it's been a brutal stretch of games, and I think it's until the end of March, I believe, when the Wizards will play the Knicks and finally get somewhat of a break, but the Wizards notoriously take those easy opponents off. Yeah, so let's look at the rest of, you know, coming up. They've got the Raptors on Friday, then the Pacers on Sunday, the Heat on Tuesday, then the Pelicans, the Heat again, the Timberwolves, who looked a lot tougher before they lost Jimmy Butler, Boston, Indiana again, the Spurs. It doesn't really get easy until March 25th, but, you know, that's a game against the Knicks, and then they play the Spurs again, so, you know, it's a tough way the whole rest of the way, but basically what I'm saying is that the Wizards have been good against the Raptors, and now we're going to take one more quick break and talk about this series in 2015 a little bit more for our Throwback Thursday section. So stay tuned, Locked On Wizards. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. We're going back, 3 seasons now to the playoffs when the Wizards beat the Toronto Raptors, and it wasn't even close. It was a 4-game sweep. The Wizards shot incredibly effectively, and the Raptors did not. What were some of, like, your biggest takeaways from this series, the lone season that Paul Pierce played for the Wizards back in 2014, 2015? Brandon Nguyen, by the way, is the guest on the podcast, and he's about to drop some knowledge.
I think the biggest takeaway from that series is how quickly and swiftly Randy Whitman was able to adjust the offense. Because remember, during that season, the Wizards were a mid-range shooting team. That's the thing that drove Wizards fans crazy during that season, is their refusal to take more three-pointers. So it was just incredible to see how Randy Whitman, he moved Paul Pierce to the four. He moved Paul Pierce to the four and had a lineup of Wall, Beal, Porter, Pierce, and Gortat. And that small ball lineup absolutely killed the Raptors. And they were just bombing threes from all over the place, which was the opposite of what they were doing during the regular season. Yeah. And everyone that was watching that series was just in awe of what the Wizards were doing on offense.
Yeah, that was a one smart move from Randy Whitman to actually go with that small ball lineup and allow Pierce to play the stretch four position. Pierce really stepped his game up, obviously, was the postseason. He instilled a lot of confidence in the team, and then there was, like, he had some quotes later, like, you know, the Wizards have really good players, they just, I don't know if they want it or not, you know, like, you've got to smack Otto Porter in the face to get him motivated, like, Beal and Wall are elite talents, but they kind of, like, fade in and out of games and things like that. So Pierce, his first game in the playoffs, he dropped 20 points, 18.5 points a game, which is up from his season average that year with the Wizards, just 11.9. And he was really making it rain from three-point land. Another big takeaway was that Otto Porter kind of had his coming out party. I didn't quite tally his stat totals over the playoff series, but, like, he only averaged about 6 points a game over that season, and then totally stepped up his numbers. I think he got close to, like, 10 or 11 points. He proved, what was it, his third season, second season? I don't know. He was still young.
Second season. Yeah. It was his second season. Yeah, he averaged 10 points and 8 rebounds in that series and shot 37% from three.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Not bad. Isn't it random that Ramon Sessions is back with the team briefly?
It is random.
This was his last year, 2015, with the Wizards. His only year, too. But, I think he played
in the 15-16 season.
Oh, the next season, who was still there
as
a backup?
Yeah, I think he played next season.
Okay, and then last year it was that awful dual-headed Trey Burke and Brandon Jennings. Jennings is in the D League now. And I think Burke is actually doing some work for the Knicks. Didn't he have, like, a big game recently?
Yeah, I think he had a 30-point game for the Knicks.
Oh, well. Yeah, too bad he couldn't do that in D.C.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a sweep. And the Raptors, I don't know, like, they shot very poorly. And I don't know, like, what was up with that, but it definitely started with their superstars. Like, if you look at Game 3, for example, Lowry was 5 of 22, which is 22% shooting, 23% shooting. DeRozan hit throws, but, like, 38% isn't that good. And as a team, it looked like they never really found their flow. In Game 2, what was it? There wasn't really much going on for Kyle Lowry. He was 3 for 10. And Game 1, I think he shot even worse. Let me double-check that one.
Yeah, that series showcased Wall at his defensive best. Like, when he wants to play defense, he can be an absolute lockdown defender.
For Wall?
Yeah, for Wall. Because that year, he was second-team all-defense.
Yeah, and it's kind of faded in and out since then. One more note about Game 1 of that one. So, that was a game. It was really low shooting percentage for both teams because the Wizards were just 39%. But they held Lowry to 2 of 10 and DeRozan to 6 of 20. So that's 20% for Lowry, 30% for DeRozan. It was just lockdown defense, or, you know, maybe the Raptors just couldn't throw a brick in the ocean. But I don't know. It was an awesome series to watch from fans' perspective because it kind of set the Wizards down the wrong path also, because Pierce is, like, of course, a Hall of Famer. He had recently won a championship, like, two or three seasons before that. I think three seasons or something like that. And then they lost to the Lakers. So it had been, like, four seasons or something. But he instilled a new sense of confidence in these young guys that kind of shaped their career. But at the same time, like, it made the Wizards talk way too much moving forward. And so I think they kind of learned from Pierce, like, you need to talk the talk in order to have confidence. But it's been a lot more talking than action recently.
Yeah, because you could remember, like, before Paul Pierce arrived in D.C., Wall and Beal were relatively quiet guys. They didn't really say much to the media. And it wasn't until after he arrived that there was this whole, like, oh, we're the best backcourt in the Eastern Conference and all that talk. That's really when it all started.
Mm-hmm. And I think it comes with playing well, too. You know, if Wall has gotten to the All-Star game 5 straight years and now Beal's an All-Star, too, like, it makes sense that you kind of have earned the privilege to be a little bit more vocal, but I'd like to see the Wizards advance further in the playoffs because it was since that year, possibly even the year before, where they're like, we don't want to accept anything less than Eastern Conference Finals, going to Eastern Conference Finals. And so, of course, like, the Wizards, because of John Wall's broken, displaced fractures in his wrist, he wasn't able to, you know, play full strength against the Hawks right after the Wizards swept the Raptors. But then the next year they went 41-41 and slipped out of the playoffs, all because they were trying to save money over the offseason to get KD, and we all know how that one worked out. Jan Mahimny's basically as good, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, think about it. We saved cap space to sign Jan Mahimny.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we did. That's pretty much what the Wizards did.
It was almost Al Horford, which would have been awesome, but I've been... Yeah, that summer, the summer where KD went to the Warriors and just stupid money was being thrown everywhere, like, it's crazy how things have turned since. And I don't really understand why the cap doesn't keep expanding, but, like, it's just ridiculous to see Mahimny making, what, like, $15 million a year, whereas Lou Williams just signed 4 years, $28 million. Like, what's going on in this world?
I mean, I guess guess that's just what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, that was really the only plan Ernie Grunfeld had going into the offseason. It was KD or bust. He didn't really have a backup plan.
Was that the year before Beal became a free agent?
That was the year Beal signed his max deal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anything else to say in terms of this Wizards versus Raptors game tomorrow night? Anything you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm interested to see how Thomas Saransky matches up against Kyle Lowry, because Lowry's only 6 feet and Saransky is 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's gonna give Saransky that many problems.
Yeah.
Especially when he's guarding him, because Saransky can see over him and throw passes whenever he wants, essentially.
And the Wizards beat the Raptors very recently, February 1st. I think that was the second game without John Wall. And Lowry ended up playing really well in like the third or fourth quarter, but he missed a clutch free throw that could have, you know, made it a one possession game. But ultimately, like, Satoransky's defense on Lowry was incredible that game until he exploded for one quarter, I think, of like 17 points or something around there. But yeah, I mean, Satoransky, his athleticism is growing, but like his defense is definitely improving. And the fact that he's 6'7", and I don't know, like, is he athletic or does he not have the foot speed? Because you see him dunking on people and getting blocks and all sorts of steals and stuff. But like the critique is that he's not fast enough to play point guard in the league. What's your take?
I think he's deceptively quick. I mean, if you have the type of ups that Saransky has, then you have to have some type of quickness to go along with it. I think it's because he's 6'7". He doesn't have flashy handles.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really take guys off the dribble, so he doesn't look fast. But he definitely has. But I think he has the ability to get to the basket. He just doesn't use it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then the last important note is so the Wizards are just one game behind Cleveland for third place right now. A win over the Raptors, of course, a win over any Eastern Conference foe would be big. But Cleveland is about to. I thought I had their next game. They just won. Who are they about to play? They just beat the Nets. Who is Cleveland playing the same night on Friday?
They're playing the Sixers tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a tough matchup. So maybe the Wizards can even that up, but I don't know. Cleveland's been playing pretty well recently, so we'll see. It would be nice to be tied with the Cavs, but I mean, ultimately, you know, there's 20 games left. All of them matter. Do you think it's a huge difference being the third versus fourth seed, or not that big a deal to you, Brandon?
It depends who we play in the first round. If we play the Sixers in the first round, that can be a problem, because Embiid is going to give our bigs problems, and we don't really have anyone to keep Simmons out of the paint. That probably works better in the Wizards' favor.
The benefit of earning that 3 seed and surpassing the Cavs would mean that you don't have to play them until the finals, because there's no chance the Cavs would jump, you know, 8 games with 20 games left or whatever and get up to the 2 seed. So that's just more motivation for the Wizards to grab that 3 seed, which is a blessing, because, you know, it's never easy to face the Cavaliers, but, you know, if you gotta face them, may as well be in that final showdown Eastern Conference Championship.
Yeah.
Brandon, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on Locked On Wizards podcast and sharing the history of the Wizards-Raptors rivalry and all the trash talk that went down. Wizards trash talking a little too much these days. So you're coming tomorrow. I'll see you then, and we'll be podcasting after that game as well, so look out for that. Locked On Wizards podcast, we'll have the results and analysis for you Friday night. Take care, everyone. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks for having me, Dylan. Go, and on the count of three. Everybody run back to your fantasy now. She was a bad, the type at the club would grab her. Fantasize when I had her in the bathroom sweating with her. The body of a dancer. We had chemistry because she was a cancer.